entra a los pies para que se siente y huela fantástico. Teasnatural.com. TIZNatural.com. Teasnatural. No se demore. Obtenga el suyo hoy. No te arrepentirás.
As a campus and community radio station, CKUT's mandate is to provide an essential service to those in the Montreal community whose needs are not met by mainstream commercial radio. CKUT is radio by and for the community and is produced entirely by volunteers. Opinions expressed on the show you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the opinions of CKUT at large. If you have feedback about anything you hear on CKUT, please get in touch with us at procom@ckut.ca with the specific feedback and the date and time of the show it's about. That's procom@ckut.ca.
Get tuned in to the Empower Hour with Miss Trish. Each and every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKU 90.3 FM with Miss Trish, where you'll be educated, empowered, and enlightened. So if you're ready, let's go!
DJ Chow Sutra.
Backing down cause I feel good.
Outside, chilling out, we shelling everything. Chilling out, we shelling everything. Outside,
Chow Sutra. Chow Sutra. Chow Sutra.
Well, all right.
Chow Sutra. As you were just told, that is my homie from Toronto, Ontario, playing the good vibes of the soca for me this morning, knowing how I like it. Anyways, everybody, welcome to the Empower Hour. Blessings, beautiful people. Welcome to another edition of the Empower Hour here on CKUT 90.3. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in this Thursday. I am your host, Miss Trish, and today it's going to be about music, as you heard, vibes, and a great interview with one of Montreal's amazing businesses that I honestly, you guys, I didn't even know this one existed in such a great capacity. So we're going to be talking to her about that. Everyone who's a gamer, I'm telling you, or knows a gamer, this one is definitely for you. Also today in the community updates, we're going to have a message from the one and only Pharaoh that will be played later on in the show. But before I get into anything, like we do with every other show, I am going to bless this show as I am semi-alone today because you're going to hear some other voices. But I just wanted to bless this show and everybody who is listening. I wanted to send out great energy today. I wanted to encourage you to fall in love with yourselves and fall in line with healing and being patient with your journeys, because we are all different and no two people are the same. You were all born with something that refuses to settle for average. So take the time and do whatever makes you happy and treat yourself with kindness. Also, I wanted to send a special love and light shout out to all of the nurses and the healthcare workers and everyone else out there who may be going through the ups and downs due to the measures being put in place recently. Thoughts and prayers and persevering vibes to you all. We are in some eye-opening times, yet still want to extend thanks for all of your hard work and dedication for the years you've all been putting in, for your years of service. We want to thank you. We want to give you love, and we want to say you are appreciated. So on that note, I'm going to start off with my week. But of course, I'm going to play a little music to do that. Now I want to let you guys know, Miss Trish is having a few technical difficulties when it comes to the music this morning. All right. So bear with me if you hear some gaps because my computer, I don't know if it's having like a Mother Nature type of day. Like I have absolutely no, I don't know what's going on with my computer, you guys. So bear with me when it comes to the music. So anyways, let's go for it. How was everybody's week? Let me start with that. So I'm going to start by telling you guys about my week. Of course, I need you to know about my week. I need you guys to hear my week 100%. Oh, turn it up. Okay, can you hear me better now? Yes, I need you guys to hear about my week 100%, because this, oh my goodness, guys. All right, so I now have the biggest, and when I say the biggest, it's like the biggest scar that I've ever had in my life. I now have the biggest, nastiest oil burn on my right arm. So here's what happened. I turned on the stove on Sunday to cook some curry chicken. I let the oil heat for what I thought was a short time. But then that wasn't the case. So then I'm not gonna lie to you guys though. I went to go mako around. You know, mako is a Trinidadian word for be nosy. So I went to nosy around on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and didn't realize that the time was flying. And in this time, the oil is getting hot. But I'm like, yo, I have done this before. I am a pro. Nothing's gonna happen to me. The oil's not gonna splash. Yeah, okay. So what I went and I did was I actually put the chicken in, and ooh, guys, that oil flew so hard back on my right arm. I got splashed. My whole arm totally felt like it was about to fall off. I know a lot of us cooks, a lot of the chefs in the kitchen, we've actually experienced this more than once, and it's not very nice. It's like really, really not a nice thing. But yeah, that's what happened to me, guys. That is what happened. And here we are right now, and I'm like, it looks so ugly. Like, I know burns and burns or scars or whatever the case may be, but it looks absolutely disgusting on my arm. I've got three big gashes on my arm right now that are covered in awesome band-aids, but at the same time, I'm like, ew, why is this here? All right, other than that, so let me talk to you guys about something that I jumped on. Yeah, see, there goes the audio problems again. Don't be wary, you guys. These are just the audio problems that I've experienced this morning. Okay, so next up, can you guys hear me? Yes, you can. So next up, I want to let you guys know that I actually got onto the listen, I didn't mean to, okay? One night I was scrolling through Netflix and I was like, what's playing? And all of a sudden, guys, I started watching Squid Games. Now, have you guys heard of it? Have you heard of Squid Games? Everybody knows what that is and all that. Yeah, Squid Games. The also famous Squid Games. So now, right now, I'm on episode 4. And to be honest, folks, I'm not sure I can actually continue. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to resume and go to episode 5 because there is so much blood and gore involved in Squid Games. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think this is truly my thing. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. Have you guys watched Squid Games? Let us know. How do you feel about it? What's it all about? And some of it is kind of like, is this what's really going on right now? You start questioning yourself. I don't know. But what I do like about Squid Games, though, is basically the story behind it. So basically, the creator, what happened was, he said he tried to market his show for a few years and got rejected more than 5 or 6 times. And then he just kept going at it. So until somebody actually took a look at it, and now it's almost it's actually the most talked about show on Netflix. So that's just a sign for us to like keep on going, keep it pushing, like do not stop. Do not let anybody say no to you way too many times, because you never know, your show can be on Netflix at number one. Like it is the most, Squid Game is now the most streamed show on Netflix as we speak on this Thursday morning. Yeah. So if you haven't watched it, if you're into that stuff, I suggest you watch it. But if you're not into that stuff, well, all I can say is just basically keep your dreams alive, because you definitely never know who's watching or what can happen to you next. So definitely don't give up. Do not give up on your dreams. So that is the first portion of the show. Next, I'm going to play just a little bit of music for us to give us to break it up every now and then. I know you guys love hearing my voice, but at the same time, I want to give you guys some tunes. So I'm going to play The Weeknd, take my breath, and then we're going to come back and talk some more. Stay tuned.
I saw the fire in your eyes.
I saw the fire in the look in your eyes.
You tell me things you wanna try.
I know temptation is the devil in disguise.
You risk it all to feel alive. Yeah.
You're offering yourself to me like sacrifice.
You said you did this all the time.
Tell me you love me.
Hold on to your time.
Now pull me closer, feel the heat between your thighs.
You're way too young to end your life.
Girl, I don't wanna be the one who pays the price.
Take my breath.
Oh.
All right. So that was The Weeknd and Take My Breath Away. Let me turn back up Black Street for us so we have a little bit of ambiance in the background. Hey, all right. So guys, I'm going to start us off with the question of the week because I think that it's a good one. I asked a question on my social media this week and I wanted to see how everybody reacted. And the reason why I asked this question is because I actually saw a post that was related to it that basically related to, I wanted to know the feedback of my fellow listeners. I love listening to what you guys have to say. So I wanted to hear what everybody's feedback was on this. So the question of the day, the question that I asked, let me get to it for you guys so you have a little background. So I saw a post basically that said a lady on Instagram, her friend started the same. See how the Black Street paused? Hey, her friend started the exact same business as her and did not want to collaborate with her. And for some reason, she actually felt a way about that. So I was like, oh, okay, she feels a way about this. I wonder how everybody else on social media will feel about this. So I went along and I did my due diligence and I asked the question. And the question of the day that I asked on all of my social media platforms was, if a friend of yours started the exact same business as you and did not, in capital letters, want to collaborate, how would you feel about that? So here are the answers that I actually received. I won't be reading names because I did not ask for permission to do so. I just asked for permission to actually read the answers. Oh, excuse me, you guys. It's morning time. So the first answer I got was, it wouldn't bother me. Business is business. And while it would be nice, kinda like, oh, well. So that was the first answer that I got back. A second one that I received says, get it, sis. Not everyone would be comfortable to collaborate, especially if they feel inferior since you've been in the business before them. I would provide support, wish them luck, and keep it growing. So, you know, a lot of people are more on a supportive tip in that sense. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. That's fine. Let me see what else I got. So another one says, so they said something first and I said, would you be okay with it? I had to re-ask the question to the person. She said, yes, everybody shouldn't go into business together. And my friend not wanting to do so would be okay with me. And I would still support her in her business journey and be a good friend. So I think that's good. I also have some male perspectives that I'm actually going to read to you, which is really cool too. All right. So let me just get those answers right there because I did promise that I would be reading these. It says, okay. So one of my friends said, well, it happened to me. I keep it pushing. I said, do you feel the same way about that friend? He says, it may not be a good business decision to jump up. And he says, I don't take that personally. I've been on the other side where I told a friend to start their own because I did not feel comfortable linking business-wise. It is what it is. And here are the answers from my Miss Trish page on Facebook. I love how everybody's feedback. Honestly, you guys don't understand how much I totally appreciate these. So here's some answers on my Facebook that I actually received. So the first person said, I would be hurt. Period. Point blank period. They didn't go into more detail than that. The next one says, do your own thing. They may have the same business, but for the wrong reasons. Hashtag heart work instead of hard work, which I really like. Another one says, I'll be cool with her. We'll certainly want her to take care of it. She says it's not serving any purpose to get feel away about it. Not everyone's level of friendship and loyalty have the same shelf life, which is true. She also said, I also prefer not to mix business with friendship. Just because you and someone are friends doesn't mean you will make good teams. When it comes to business, it shouldn't be expected that because you're friends, you should be in business together. Just like it shouldn't be expected that friends and family will support you. They may not be ready for that commitment. And she also said, the season she's in, she wants everyone to win and there's enough abundance for all of us to eat and grow and be good. Let me get to the group Miss Trish questions. If you're not a part of that group yet, I definitely suggest you do join my group on Facebook. It is just Miss Space Trish, as simple as that. So let me read you these answers that I received. The first one says, doesn't sound like I was interested in doing business with her in the first place. Second answer says, honestly, sometimes it's better to work alone and do your own thing. As petty as I am, I'd probably keep a lot from her and strive to always be one step ahead of her. LOL. That's what the person said. No judgment. So another one says, I would be happy for my friend and I would even lend a helping hand that's how it's supposed to be. It is up to me to put in the work to make my business a successful one. So the person is saying they would definitely help out their friend, but definitely keep their eye more on their business to keep it as successful as possible. Another person says, gotta be able to separate business and friendships. And another person says, I would be a little disappointed. This is the last one. But our friendship isn't based on work, so I would take it as a compliment since I probably inspired her to start it up and offer tips, tricks, if she would like to hear them. Also, keep all the ideas to myself after that, though. Maybe eventually then the collaboration will come. So that is the answers that I actually received back. And I thought that was pretty good. Like, everybody has a different way of thinking about it. And I like that most are supportive. And they said, you know, I actually probably support my friend and let them be. If I have to offer some tips and tricks, I'm definitely going to do that. So I do enjoy everybody's feedback. And I'm going to be doing a question of the week every single week. So you guys stay tuned for that. Now, we're going to jump right into this week's headlines because there is a video that I want you guys to hear. It's called Learn to Unlearn. But let me talk about the headlines quickly, and then we are going to jump right into that. So this week's headlines. So I'm going to start off with a story that is for the Montreal Metro riders. Who here takes the Metro or has taken the Metro, subway, all that good old stuff? Raise your hand. So this first story is from a Metro rider. So you know when you go into the Metro, sometimes you push the door and sometimes this hot, musty smell comes out and you're like, okay, but what is this about? Why does it smell so musty? I know I just paid from a Metro Pass, my bus fare, Metro Pass. You see, Metro Pass, you can tell that I used to live in Ontario because I just said Metro Pass. But anyway, you know what I mean. So the SEM actually explained why wind smacks you in the face when you enter a Montreal Metro station. Nothing like the smell and taste of the Metro stale wind in the morning. Exactly. So they say, you know, don't do your hair if you're a girl until after you're off the Metro. Montreals know the struggle of using all their body weight to force open the Metro station doors, only to get smacked in the face by a blinding gust of wind that smells like the city's stale, dusty bowels. So why? Why does entering an STM Metro station feel like an amusement park ride? The transit company took to Instagram to share the answer in an eye-opening explainer video on its ventilation system and methods. It says the wind is due to the piston effect, okay? In the public areas of Metro stations, there's no ventilation systems in the building themselves, STM engineer Annie McKen explains in the video. Instead, the circulation of the trains ensures more than adequate ventilation and sufficient air change in the stations. When trains move through stations, McKen continues, they dispare air when then pushes it outside or in this piston effect. This plus what the STM says are more than 150 ventilation shafts and 90 mechanical ventilation stations are enough for the network, she continues. Okay, so it smells because you guys have enough ventilation systems. Did I take that wrong? I don't know. I'm just like, yeah, but sis, that does not really explain it. Okay. So is it going to, my question is, right, if I were to interview her, if I was sitting in front of her, I would have been like, so is it still going to smell like that? Are we going to do something about it? You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. We are here out here raising prices to ride the bus, you know, raising Metro passes and all that stuff. Everything's going up. Inflation is high. Are we going to do something about it? You know me, I am queen of solutions. So that's what I always want to know. Next up on the headlines for this week, who would not want a 4-day work week? If you're a 9-to-5er, this one is for you. So a Montreal employer is moving to a 4-day work week and employees are keeping their salaries. It's growing from a 40-hour week to a 32-hour week. Check that out, you guys. Wouldn't you want your employer to do that? So a Montreal employer is officially
moving to a four-day work week without reducing employee salaries. Video game studio Eidos, or Eidos, if I said that wrong, I apologize, said the new Monday to Thursday operating hours will apply to both its Montreal and Sherbrooke offices. The idea is not to condense the working hours into 4 days, but rather to review our ways of doing things and our quality time invested with the aim of getting better. That's what David and Fozzie explained. He is the head of studio. Well, David, kudos to you, because you know what? I think a 4 day work week would also do better on everybody's mental health. I think that everybody, it would also do well for quality time, people spending time with their families, people spending time alone, and people actually discovering their crafts and the things that they would like to do outside of work. So I personally feel that this is an amazing idea. Kudos to the man who thought about that. Next up. So you guys know St. Catherine Street West, right? It's always in the midst of some kind of construction. You know, I have not seen what St. Catherine Street looked like since I moved back to Montreal, and that is going on 7.5 years. But St. Catherine Street West transformation is supposed to revitalize. But I almost feel like they've been revitalizing the street forever. Like I just said, it's been 7 years. So it's one of those never-ending constructions. But hey, now they're saying, oh, there might be an end in sight. Montreal's most famous street is being renovated. And it's so much more than just a simple facelift. St. Catherine Street West is being re-imaged, embracing modernity while respecting tradition. The end result will be a commercial and residential artery with more space for living, an iconic street that will inspire all Montrealers. People are looking for an experience, and this rethink of the street has been done with comfort and pleasure in mind. If you're looking for a shopping experience, you'll go somewhere where you can walk, sit, stop to eat, maybe see a show. We want to create a street where experiences happen, where there's room for things to happen. St. Catherine Street will be more than just a way to get from point A to point B. How you guys feel about that? How does everybody feel about that? You know what? All these words, and I'm just like, okay, but actions speak louder than words, guys. So let's see it happen first, and then we can give it all these fancies, arteries, and nice names and things like that. You know, let's just see it happen first again, because the street has been in construction for so long. Wow. Like, okay, can we see something different now for a change instead of, you know, the fancy words? It was beautifully written. I'm not going to say it wasn't. I look forward to it. I'm just hoping that it actually finishes one day. So now we're going to move on to Stephanie Henry King from Mouvement Montréal. She's basically running for that. She's a part of that crew. And she's basically saying that neighborhood issues are on her mind. So this is a story from the wonderful Community Contact. Got to give them shout outs for this. So Stephanie Henry King, she is basically saying she stands proudly on the foundation of her Little Burgundy upbringing. She credits the borough, which is considered one of Montreal's first Black neighborhoods, as shaping her to be the person she is today. Now she wants to serve her community, and she hopes to do this as the next city councillor for the Sud-Ouest district under the Mouvement Montréal Intrigued by politics as a teen, she chose to nurture her interest in Concordia University, where she obtained a bachelor's degree in political science with a minor in psychology. Although she had a desire to go into public service, she never found a party that articulated her philosophy and ideologies. This changed when she met Balarama Holness, and he shared with her the vision of Mouvement Montréal. So she's just saying, furthermore, she believes, I'm just going to read this a little bit more because I want to give you guys the insight of this actual story. So she believes that a vote in her favor will bring real change and empower the community of the Southwest. The fractured relations between the police and the community is something that King intends to tackle. The reallocation of funds away from the SPVM is really important, especially in Little Burgundy. The relationship between law enforcement and residents is very strained. This could be addressed by reallocating funds away from the SPVM to health and social services, to leisure, to recreation and sports. With Mouvement Montréal, our slogan is people before politics, and very indicative and what our platform stands for. We have a lot of policies that we'd like to bring forth, such as affordable housing, and we hope to increase the housing budget by 2%. She says another thing that I think is really important is pushing for bilingual status of Montreal. There are a lot of Anglophones within the community, and they should be able to have access to legal documents in their preferred language. We're also preserving the French language. We understand its cultural relevance to Montreal, and it's nothing that we want to take away from. We want to implement subsidized French classes for those who want to learn. So I think the angle is good. I'm wishing them well. You know what I'm saying? I'm wishing them success. I agree with most of what they're saying there. So that's good. No political views for me, because not that I don't know politics very well. I just don't want to speak in a way that's either the negative or siding or anything like that. But I just want to say I am rooting for them. All the best to Stephanie Henry King and Balaram Wholeness. All the best. I'll be looking out to see the results. So want to give another shout out to Chanel Sutherland, who won the CBC Nonfiction Prize. This is also another community contact story, which I think you guys should get the community contact. You know, it's a free newspaper that comes out every 2 weeks, you know, and, you know, it's people from the community who are actually really doing things, putting their best foot forward. It's a nice platform so for people to be highlighted. Definitely check out and get the community contact. So meet Chanel M. Sutherland, winner of the 2021 CBC Nonfiction Prize. In the socially distant silence of the pandemic last year, the brutal murder of George Floyd sparked boycotts, protests, and rallies. Discussions around race relations were brought to the foreground, and along submerged memories and emotions resurfaced and combed through. Many took to writing, demonstrating, and analyzing race relations in ways they never expected to. In Montreal, Chanel M. Sutherland, a writer and director of Proud Marketing, who was born in St. Vincent and the Grenadines and moved to Canada when she was 10 years old, was reflecting on her own story and her first encounter with racism. It hinged a question she was asked as a newly transplanted fifth grader. Do you like being black? She says the question opened a different dimension of her newly adopted city, Montreal. It shocked her and left her scarred. And the way she sees it, she's still healing. Her story, Umbrella, chronicles her experience with racism and bullying at a young age, and is the masterful crafted narrative has earned her the 2021 CBC Nonfiction Prize. Sutherland's story was chosen over 2,000 entries, and she will receive $6,000 in prize money from the Canada Council of Arts and will attend a two-week residency at the Banff Center for Arts and Creativity. Her story has been published on cbcbooks.ca. Sutherland, who holds a BA in English Literature from Concordia University and is a member of the Quebec's Writers Federation, spoke to the contact about her writing journey and what this win means for her. So if you want to check out the interview, I suggest you go to your local Caribbean store and grab a community contact to support the cause, because you won't regret it, and you're going to see the awesomeness of Miss Chanel M. Sutherland. And lastly, I wanted to shout out somebody else that I knew pretty well, who actually won for Director of the Year at the Silicon Valley Film Festival for her film Fly. So big shout out to Marina Mathieu. She got the winning film. I want to say shout outs to her. I know it's not easy to direct a film. It isn't, but she did it and she won, and I'm sure her perseverance is what got her there. So just want to give a big shout out to her today, because wow, that is amazing. We got a lot of people in this community of Montreal doing a whole bunch of amazing things, and I am just here to basically keep them inspired, keep them going. You know, don't stop. Do not listen. When I tell you guys don't stop, I really mean don't stop, eh? Because you just never know what's going to happen. Like, look how far all of these queens are getting. You know, we have some great queens in the city just doing what they have to do. So, yeah. Here we are. All right, guys. So I'm going to play some music for you, give you another musical break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to have the motivational video that I was talking to you about play in the background. Stay tuned, guys.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong, I do what they say I can. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging bodies.
spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a Somali. Bird, crow, Ferrari, hop up the stoop, jump in the coupe, big dip on top of the roof, flexing on as hard as I can, eating halal, driving a Lamb. So that bitch, I'm sorry though, got my coins like Mario. Yeah, they call me Cardi B, I run this shit like cardio. Diamond district in the chain.
Chambean, pero no jalan. Tú compras todas las Jolambo, a mí me las regalan. I spend in the club, what you have in the bank. This is the new religion bank, el latino gang. Está toda servieta, pero es que en el closet tengo mucha grasa. Ya mudé la Gucci pa' dentro de casa, yeah. A ti no te conocen ni en plaza. El diablo me llama, pero Jesucristo me abraza. Guerrero como Eddie, que viva la raza, yeah. Me gustan boricua, me gustan cubana. Me gusta el acento de la colombiana. Como me ve el culo la dominicana. Lo rico que me chinga la venezolana. Andamos activos, perico, pim, pim. Billetes de 100 en el maletín. Que retumbe el bajo Bobby Valentín, yeah. Aquí prohibido mal, dile Charitín. Que perpico le tengo claritín. Yo llego a la disco y se forma el motín.
Certified, you know I'm gang, 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 gang. Woo! Drop the top and blow the brand. Woo! Woo! Oh, he's so handsome, what's his name?
Celia Cruz, tengo el azúcar. Tú que va medio y se fue de pecho como Jimmy Luca. Te vamos a tumbar la peluca y arranca pa'l carajo, que a ti no te va a pasar la boca. Mi tele y Valenciaga me reciben en la entrada. Pa 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 para, sí, like I'm Lady Gaga. Y no te me hagas, que en cover de vivo tú has visto mi cara, no salgo de tu mente. Donde quiera que viajes, has escuchado mi gente. Ya no soy high, soy como el testa rosa. Soy el que se la vive y también el que la goza. Goza, goza, es la cosa, mami, es la cosa. Goza, el goza. Que mira sufre y el que toca goza. Goza, goza, goza.
I said I like it like that.
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 Diamond district in the chain. Certified, you know I'm gang. Drop the top and blow the brand. Oh, he's so handsome, what's his name?
Darling, I care for you more than my own self. Darling, I share with you all goodness and wealth. Said we can have just one night, or we can have one whole life if we play it cool. Yeah. Or we can have everything if our hearts are true. Girl, slow down. Girl, let me love you. Darling, slow down. Let me get to know you.
Baby, I've been fantasizing. Just looking in your eyes, you know I'm looking for more. And you're what I've been praying for. This kind of love don't come around like this. I'm not one to play around like this. It's so real, and I love how it feels. I love it when we slowly sway. I love it when
Yes, yes, guys. Slow Down. That was by Skip Marley and her. You know, I love that track. I don't know about anybody else, but that song, so beautiful. Anyways, folks, it is the goals and affirmation time of the show. So you guys know I watch a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of motivational stuff to get my week going, to get my days going, daily meditation, daily prayer, all that stuff. So I found an amazing TED Talk, and it's about learning to unlearn. It spoke volumes because I know myself. I took a lot of the things that I learned as a child and I applied it to my early adult life. And I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't it. I don't know if you guys have ever looked inside yourself to realize that some of the things that you learned is just not the way that, you know, things should operate and things should go. And it really takes some time to actually think like that, but and look into yourself and realize that. But you know what? I have a video for you. I have hooked you up on this lovely Thursday morning. So this TED Talk, his name is Navi Raju, and it's a TEDx XL talk. So it is a little lengthy, but you know what? I played a lengthy video for you guys last week, and the feedback was amazing. So we are going to play this TED Talk for you. It's about learning to unlearn. If you guys want to have this video, I can totally send it to you. Just DM the Empower Hour, as you all did last week, or you can email me or DM me directly at IamMissTrisha@gmail.com. But here you go, guys. Learn to unlearn.
Good evening. It's a great pleasure to be here in Grenoble. And I know it's end of the day, so you might be feeling tired. So I thought I would share with you maybe some stories to keep you alive a bit. So let me begin with one story. It's about a very bright student in Japan who comes to see a Zen master and tells him with a lot of excitement and pride, "Master, I traveled all around the world and I've studied every religion possible. I master now all philosophies. The only thing I don't know about is Zen. Teach me everything I need to know about Zen so I can become an expert and a master like yourself." The master doesn't respond. Instead, he puts an empty teacup in front of the student and starts pouring tea. He doesn't stop. He keeps on pouring. And soon, the teacup fills up, and the tea starts spilling over on the table. The student, of course, gets very upset, and he looks at, yells at the master, "Master, stop! You can't pour any more tea into it. It's full." The master finally smiles, stops pouring tea, looks at the student, and tells him, "Like this cup, your mind is also full. How can I teach you Zen unless you first empty your cup?" Throughout today, you learned about different techniques and tools you can use to learn faster and better. But as the Zen master explains, you can't learn better or faster unless you empty your cup, that is, you unlearn what you already know. So what I want to talk about today is how you learn to unlearn. Let's begin with my own experience of the last 18 years, the way I learned to unlearn. I finished my studies in 95 in France in information systems, and then I went to an internship at IBM in Canada. I was in a large software development team. IBM had all the resources I wanted, and I was very excited to learn everything I could about information technology or IT. Soon I felt like I was an expert, like the Superman, you know, we saw before in information technology, to the point where I told myself, I'm going to become an IT consultant and an independent IT consultant. And this was 96. And I applied for a job in Thailand in a government agency to become an IT consultant. The first day I showed up at work, I asked someone there, can I get an email address? And they look at me, they say, what is an email? So then I told myself, I'm in trouble. Because I realized I wasn't there to use my expertise to help improve the existing IT system, but actually built it from scratch. So that was quite a humbling moment. I had to let go of my expert mindset and actually start with the basics. I rolled up my sleeves, and with very limited resources, I ended up building the whole IT infrastructure for the company. I built the email server, the intranet system, the public websites, etc., and I became very good at that. At one point, the intranet system I built even won an international award. So I felt very, very proud. And then in 1999, I came to the US. I became an analyst at Forrester Research, which is a market research firm. And I have to learn how to do research, write reports, and consult clients on how to change the business using technology. I knew a bit about technology, but not much about business. So again, I have to go back to the basics and learn how different industries operate. And eventually, I became very good at being an analyst. I won many awards. I was quoted extensively in the media as an expert, and the clients loved me. I felt like, you know, the superstar again. And then I wanted to challenge myself. So I went to England a couple of years ago to launch as an executive director a new research center at Cambridge University. I never worked in the academic sector before, so it was a very challenging job for me because I had to realize that I was not there to showcase my own expertise as much as connect and collaborate with other smart people inside and outside the campus and co-create new knowledge. But eventually, I learned to do it. As a matter of fact, the job was really challenging, but I learned very valuable skills like how to build partnerships and ecosystems. And then a few years ago, I finally returned to US to fulfill my childhood dream, which is write books. The problem is I never wrote books before. So I have to essentially realize that everything I learned as a consultant, as an analyst, and then as a research director were not useful about, you know, in terms of writing books. So I have to go back to the basics again and learn the basics about writing books. And I have to say, it's a very challenging thing because I used up all my savings for the last 3 years to support myself financially to write these books. But eventually, I got very good at it, and the two books became bestsellers, which I'm very happy about. But even this week, even today, I have to unlearn something. For the past 18 years, I always was wearing a suit and a tie when I did presentations. And I told myself, it's time to loosen up a bit. I said, I need to wear jeans for the first time in my life. So 3 hours before my flight took off on Wednesday, I took my bike, rushed to the local, you know, retail store, and I got these jeans. So I kind of feel right now like the Superman without his costume and stripped of his power. So bear with me. So what I want to talk about again is the importance of learning. So if you look at my own professional career over the last 18 years, as I navigated across different industries and different regions of the world, what happens is that the context kept changing. So everything I learned and was useful in one context became less useful as I shifted to another context. So the key word, again, is context. Whenever the context around you changes, you need to unlearn, let go of the old best practices. The bad news is that the business context, especially if you're a professional, is now rapidly changing because of major shifts. Things like the rise of India and China, or it could be the depletion of natural resources, the aging population, especially in Europe, and the explosion of technologies like social media and mobile phones. So if you are a professional, let's say an engineer or a marketing exec, or you might even be a business exec, all the tools and techniques you learned on the last 15, 20 years, I would say, are going to be less useful in the next 15, 20 years. But here's the good news. If you know how to adapt to this new reality of the 20th century, you can actually be very successful. But for that, you need to unlearn the old business paradigms of the 20th century, especially around two areas. One is innovation, and the second one is leadership. Let's start with innovation. If you're an engineer or a marketing professional, you are used to the traditional innovation model that I call more for more. That is, you keep spending more money in R&D to create more complex products that cost more money to the customers, right? But this model I call more for more is no longer viable in today's world simply because the resources are getting scarce and the consumers are becoming cost conscious and they're looking for products that are simpler and more affordable. So you need to unlearn this more for more innovation model and adopt what I call a frugal innovation model, a model that helps you create products that deliver more value to customers at less cost. One company, and this is a very old company, that's why I picked them up as an example, that actually successfully unlearned the old innovation paradigm and learned frugal innovation is the French car maker Renault. For over 100 years, Renault's engineers were damn good, very good, at creating very, very beautiful cars that have very superior technology quality. And they, of course, they also patented these, you know, inventions, and they were celebrated for these technology inventions. But in the late 90s, then CEO Louis Schweitzer went to Russia and discovered that the locally made car, Lada, was outselling Renault's premium cars. And you said, how come? Because the Lada looked terrible. I mean, it has a very poor design, for those of you know, especially from the spy movies you might have watched. And yet, it had some advantages. It was extremely robust in the extreme weather conditions of Russia. It was easy to maintain. You can do the kind of, you know, fab lab stuff. You can come up with your own spare parts to fix them. And it cost only 6,000 euros. But the Renault cars cost twice more. But not only that, they were not very dependable in the harsh weather of Russia, and the spare parts were not easy to find. So there was a very important moment there, because for the Renault engineers, they realized that the context has shifted. Because in emerging markets like Russia, what users are looking for are not sophisticated solutions. They are looking for simpler products and services that deliver more value at less cost. So that shift in perspective got them thinking and unlearned decades of expertise they had in building complex and sophisticated cars and learn to design simpler cars that are at the same time dependable and good-looking and affordable. It wasn't easy, but they learned how to empty their cup. As a matter of fact, in 2005, Renault launched the famous Logan, which is a 5,000 euro car, a no-frills sedan, actually, which is good-looking, decent-looking, and yet is dependable and reliable. So Renault is a company that learned how to unlearn the old innovation paradigm in order to succeed in the 21st century. And I'm sure because of that, they will be around for the next 100 years as well. So innovation is the first thing. The second thing you have to unlearn is the old leadership paradigm, which I call the smart leadership, which I wrote in my second book. Smart leaders believe that knowledge is power, so they don't like to collaborate and openly share information. They also believe in efficiency. So they like to control things and make things more predictable. But neither beliefs are credible or realistic today, and they are not valid anymore because, first of all, with the explosion of social media and the internet, knowledge is no longer power. Finding and sharing knowledge is what gives you power. Second thing is, in today's chaotic environment, it doesn't matter how efficient you are. What matters is how flexible and how adaptable you are. So you need to unlearn the old smart leadership model and adopt what I call a wise leadership model that allows you to build new capabilities like openness and empathy. One company where managers had to unlearn the smart leadership model and embrace the wise leadership model is IBM, another 100-year-old company. In the late 90s, IBM was struggling to adapt to the new reality of the internet. Their managers were very good at running large, profitable business units that were selling PCs and hardware, like mainframe technology. But the clients were not looking for that. What they wanted now is end-to-end business solutions that use the internet to connect the IT systems with their customers and suppliers. So IBM managers at that time were confused about how to adapt to the new reality. So then CEO Lou Gerstner came up with a bright idea. In 2000, he set up what's called Emerging Business Opportunities, or EBOs. These were small business units set up to be nimble enough to quickly capture new market opportunities, especially around the internet. And he did something very wise. He took the most experienced managers of IBM, the kingmakers, the rainmakers, and then he put them in charge of the EBOs, and he told them, you're getting a promotion. But for the managers, it felt like a demotion. These are the guys running multi-billion dollar businesses, and overnight, they were running startups with no revenue. But they have to unlearn and let go of the old paradigm leadership and learn how to think and act as a nimble entrepreneur. It was a big cup they have to empty, but they did. Successfully, as a matter of fact, in the last 15 years, and I've worked with them in the past, I can tell you that thanks to the EBOs, now IBM is on a better footing because a lot of technologies around smart cities and Internet of Things actually emanated from the EBOs that were incubated in the early 2000 period. So clearly, it's important to unlearn the old innovation leadership paradigms. The question is how you go about unlearning your own best practices, right? Well, first of all, for that, we need to look at what's in your cup. So what happens is that over time, as you evolve in your professional career, what happens is that you end up accumulating a lot of knowledge, and you end up becoming very good at what you do. And soon, you don't even know, essentially, when you end up doing what you do, you don't really know how it happens what you do. So the principles behind it become part of the tacit knowledge. And very soon, however,